Blog Talk Radio.
From two beautifully scenic and historic locations, the Hudson Valley, New York, and Willow, Alaska, this is the Side Vibe, brought to you by Dog Works Radio. Your hosts are author, journalist, and photographer, the Five Sides mom, Dorothy Wills Raftery, and Dog Works Radio executive producer, canine behaviorist, trainer, and lead musher of Team Aneke, Robert Forto. The Sibe Vibe is all about the magnificent breed of the Siberian Husky. From training to grooming, and for those who show and breed, from parenting to playing and rescuing huskies in need, whether mushing over snow-covered trails or lounging on tropical shores, even for Hollywood Sibes on the big silver screen and so very much more. If it's about a Siberian Husky, we'll chat about it here.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, hosting from the mushing capital of the world, Willow, Alaska, and on the line, calling in from the Hudson Valley of New York, Dorothy Wills Raftery. Dorothy, how's it going?
It's going great, Robert. It's going really good. We have a beautiful day today, a little bit warmer than the past couple, but we're heading into that nice autumn season that makes the Huskies oh so happy. How are things with you?
We are in the middle of raining season right now. It rains pretty much from now until it starts snowing in late October, so it is very wet and muddy out in the dog yard right now.
I did see some photos of yours over on your Team Aneke Facebook page, and I have to say, though, I think I'm getting very partial to Seabreeze. What a beautiful-looking dog. This is the first time being a lead dog?
Yes, he is really like our fifth-string quarterback, and we just put him in lead yesterday and gave him a shot, and he did pretty good on his first run.
Oh, that's great. Now, before we go into today's show, I know your book is getting really close to coming out. I think it's going to the printer, and we're going to have a fall publication date. And do you just want to tell our listeners a little bit about how to pre-order Team Aneke, A Musher's Dream? And I think you got a couple of goodies that are going out with the pre-orders, aren't you?
Yes, we're pre-ordering right now for our brand new children's book. It's going to be published sometime this month of September. And you can order it, pre-order your copy at teamaneke.com, T-E-A-M-I-N-E-K-A. And along with the pre-order, you're also going to receive a signed copy of the book, a picture of the team, and a souvenir dog booty.
I think that sounds great. It's very exciting. I can't wait until it's finished and it's out and it's really looking great. And it's going to be a great book, both a great read for children and adults alike. And you have some great educational things in there, too, that I think will be a great little tool for the kids.
You know, it really gives, in just the short 20-odd pages, it really gives an introduction to mushing. It talks about where the dogs run, how they run together, some of the races that sled dogs run. I think it's going to be a great little book for kids.
I do, too. It'll be great. All right, so today I want to welcome all our listeners to the Side Vibe. And, you know, it's September, and while summer's not quite over here and a hint of autumn is in the air, and it's pretty exciting for the Five Sides this time of year, they get really pretty energetic. Even my Gibson, who's normally pretty laid back, has been, running around the yard and doing a lot of singing. He just loves the approaching season. Today's show, Robert and I will be chatting with Allie Ramirez, the founder and president of Allie's Rescued Siberian Angels, also known as ARA Canine Rescue, Inc., a nonprofit all-volunteer Siberian Husky rescue located in Apple Valley, California. Joining Allie is Penelope Brown, the communications director over at Allie's Rescue. And sometimes Allie's Rescue is also now referred to as the Husky Ranch. It's actually located on a 10-acre ranch where all the rescued huskies have comfortable kennels. They get lots of socialization and playtime. And you can follow her on her Facebook page, and she puts a lot of pictures and things up of the dogs that she takes in. And they have a great motto there. It's No Sibe Left Behind. And Allie and her team of volunteers are dedicated to saving the lives of Siberian huskies abandoned in California. At Allie's, they actually help healthy huskies, injured huskies, special needs huskies. They see to the vet care, and they nurse all the injured and ill huskies back to health before finding them forever homes. And we're going to actually talk about one or two cases a little later on in the show. This award-winning rescue is also an approved Hagel Foundation rescue, and it's a Jason Hagel, I guess, Foundation was founded in 2008 by Nancy and actress Katherine Hagel. The Hagels' desire to end cruelty and animal abuse inspired them to create an organization dedicated to animal welfare that would celebrate the compassion, kindness, and memory of a beloved son and brother. And you can read more about the foundation at www.jasonhagelfoundation.org. In 2012, Allie's Rescued Angels had 267 successful adoptions and saved 280 animals from high kill shelters. They also reached their 1,000th adoption and has since surpass that. A little about Allie herself. She began as a volunteer with the Akita Rescue, a passion for paws, for about 6 months before becoming their kennel manager and adoption coordinator. She worked with them steadily for about 2 years, and during that time, she says, she assumed that huskies, and she, her first dog as a child was a husky, and she just assumed that huskies were being rescued. And she says the first husky she rescued was actually hit by a car in front of her house, and she rushed him to the emergency room, and luckily he had no major injuries. And a passion for paws, Akita Rescue, paid his bill and adopted him out. And she said it was after that she asked the shelter contacts if Siberians were making it out of shelters, and she was pretty shocked when she was told no, that many were being euthanized. Allie says she couldn't believe they were not being rescued, so it was at that moment she formed this group, and starting out very small, doing it alone from her home, where she saved approximately 50 Siberians per year, focusing on those with special needs, the seniors, and the sick and injured huskies. She is proud to say her Rescued Angels group has remained steadfast in the belief that they will continue saving those that are most in need of saving. She admits that she honestly never intended for the rescue to get as big as it has today, and she says had she known, she never would have named it after herself. During her second year with Allie's Rescued Angels, she began utilizing commercial boarding, created a board of directors, and applied for her 501c3. And began saving approximately 150 per year. In year three, the group became more visible, made their presence known in the rescue community. They built relationships with the animal shelters, establishing pull rights and securing more specialized veterinarians, and now saving approximately 250 huskies per year. Now, during the year four, which is last year, they purchased the 10-acre Husky Ranch as well as their own transportation van. They also applied and received a kennel permit and have successfully created a safe haven for the huskies in their care. Currently, Allie's is approaching their fifth year in service, and they save over 300 Siberians per year, striving to save those still that need them the most. They have thousands of followers, many volunteers and contributors who help to complete the mission of rescuing huskies, nursing them back to health, and finding them a loving home and forever family. Allie says she is very proud of the work they do and sees many more great things for the rescue and the Siberian huskies they save in the future. Allie and Penelope, welcome to the Side Vibe.
Good morning, Dorothy.
How's everybody today?
Well, I'm doing great. How are you doing, Penelope?
I'm doing fine, too. Thank you, Allie.
Now, are you both calling in from California?
Yes.
I'm calling in from Northern California.
Oh.
And I'm calling from the ranch.
Okay, and that's Allie calling in from the ranch. And
here
Penelope.
I am. This is Allie.
So, now, Allie, so many rescues are based on volunteer foster families, and you've done something very different there. You have an actual site complete with kennels and rooms for the huskies that you take in to play and exercise and be trained and socialize. And last year you moved to the ranch, and I know I saw photos and videos, as did a lot of your followers, of the construction of the kennels. And what spurred your decision to create Husky Ranch, an actual home for the huskies that you rescue?
You know, the numbers of Siberians in the shelters were just, the numbers are too high to continue running in the small capacity that we were previously. We were doing the commercial boarding, which was running the rescue a little over $2,000 per month. And even though foster homes are great, it is very difficult to foster a Siberian because of their extreme ability to escape even the most secure yards. So fostering is difficult for a Siberian rescue. So it was just time. It was time to buy a facility that we could save more and have control of where they were and keep them with us.
Now, Husky Ranch is completed, or are you still under any phase of construction, or how is that going?
We are still under construction. We actually have contractors coming out again on Monday to start the pouring for the second phase of concrete and to place the personalized bricks that everyone ordered to help us raise money for that project.
Now, the personalized bricks, is that something that's still going on? And can you just explain really what that is for listeners?
The personalized brick program was something that we thought of that would allow people to have a little piece of the ranch in their name. So we ran a small campaign to sell 1,000 bricks, and people got to engrave the name of a loved one or the name of a pet that would then be laid in the cement in the exercise yards in the ranch. So we have actually stopped selling the bricks at the moment because we had to get the concrete poured and the donations. It was $75 per brick, and it was taking a long time to get to the 1,000. So we stopped. I think in total we had 70 bricks sold in total, which will be being laid in the exercise yard.
Do you think you might be selling them at a later point at all again, in case anyone who's listening might be interested?
We haven't ruled it out. It's definitely a great memorial to have at the ranch. It's great for people to be able to see their lasting legacy forever under the footsteps of all the rescued huskies that we have. But at this moment, we don't have another set time for selling those.
And they can always keep an eye out on your website and over on your Facebook page, to see if that is something that starts up again.
Absolutely.
Now, Allie, you live right there on the ranch with the Huskies, you say. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Wow. Now, how many Huskies are currently residing with you?
Our current kennel permit allows us to have 15 adult Siberians, and there are no limit if they're under 4 months of age. And, of course, we try and stay within our kennel permit limit.
It's got to be pretty great waking up to a ranch of Huskies. I think that's pretty awesome and the work you do. And speaking of the little ones, I happened to peek at your Shep skis, and everybody over here is in love with them.
Yeah, they're pretty cute. They're pretty cute. And you saw that we did DNA test them.
Mm-hmm.
And which we had never done before. So that was pretty amazing to see that actually works.
That's really great. Now, just so that listeners know, these puppies, they came into your ranch. They're also ones that will eventually be adopted out. Is that correct?
Correct. They actually started meeting their families this weekend, and they are all spoken for.
That's wonderful. Oh.
Yeah.
Now, you have what is fondly known as Team Alley, a group of hardworking, dedicated volunteers. And can you talk a little bit about them and how many members are on your team?
Penelope actually heads up Team Aura. And Penelope, are you still there?
I am, yes.
Would you like to talk a little bit about Team Alley?
Sure. Team Alley is a pretty close-knit group of people that are extremely dedicated and extremely reliable in the parts that they do. Erica Jay is a devoted volunteer that does a lot of our volunteer coordination for the pet expos that we do. She recently organized the car wash fundraiser, the second annual car wash fundraiser that we did in Chico. So Erica's very important to Team Aura. We also have Monica Rowland, which we have to mention. Monica, she does a lot for us as well in transporting the dogs from local shelters up to the ranch. We have people in England that help follow up on pledges for us. We have followers in many, many parts of the country that do things remotely, spreading the word. You know, there's people that help with the fundraising. Kelly Williams has done a lot for our fundraising efforts. And I'm the one in the background kind of doing the officey type stuff. Ellie and I have very different skill sets, which work beautifully together. And I handle most of the Facebook, social media, and fundraising endeavors, along with the marketing and branding of the rescue. But we're very lucky.
Yes, I mean, you have a great working team, and, you know, I know even from communication with you guys, I mean, it's very smooth, and, you know, you get back to people right away, and the Huskies are always the number one priority, so I think it's a really great team that you guys have going there.
I want to mention, Dorothy, that also Brian and Arlene, who set up every event that we do outside of the ranch, because, of course, I'm always running late. And they are there for every event, get all of our awnings set up, you know, everything that we need, brochures, you know, gift bags, whatever is handled at those events. Brian and Arlene head that up, and I'm very thankful to them for all of their assistance.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, behind the scenes, it's really important to know that, you know, Husky Rescues rely so heavily on volunteers and the help, and, you know, it all comes together no matter what aspect people are volunteering at. You know, it all really does ultimately help these Huskies. If anyone is interested in volunteering or helping you out, again, how would you direct them to go to your Facebook page and just contact you that way, or right through your website, which I'd like to mention is www.alliesrescuedangels.org?
Yes. Volunteers can call us, they can email, they can go through the Facebook. The emails I generally see right off the bat. Facebook, usually Penelope handles that, so there's a little delay for me to see the Facebook messages, but email I see right away.
Great. Now, Allie, can you take us through a typical day at Husky Ranch?
Well, typical day at Husky Ranch normally starts with howling. Sounds like I have wolves out in the back. So I always know when they're awake. Usually the day starts with taking any of the medical Huskies, Huskies that need to be fixed, vaccinations, to the vet. That's usually first thing in the morning. Then we usually go do the kennel cleaning, medicating. Everybody gets out to do some exercise, breakfast, whatever the Huskies need starts first thing in the morning. And then we normally start with the phone calls, the emails, scheduling adoptions, contacting the shelters, speaking with Timara to find out what's going on, what's the schedule. We normally have Huskies arriving daily, so either I'm working with somebody to transport or I'm going to go and pick them up myself. The days usually fly by. They go by really quickly, and by mid-afternoon, you know, it's time to go and check on everybody, go pick up doggies from the vet, clean drains, you know, exercise again, and get all the new sibes settled in, make sure that they're getting along as they're next to each other. You know, by that time it's dinner, and we just, you know, start all over again. It's definitely a 7-day-a-week job, and it's a 24-hour-a-day job.
Now, in addition to the Huskies being residents of the ranch, and I know foster homes are difficult, but do you also have foster families for some of the Huskies? And about how many you say would be out in foster care?
we generally don't foster anymore. I mean, maybe Penelope might take one. Sean and Loretta Stevenson had done some fostering. We really don't foster much anymore. We try and keep them here. The only time we'll foster, of course, Monica Rowland will foster, if we have a special needs Siberian, one that is just not appropriate to be in the kennels. Otherwise, they stay here with us now.
Now, how important is networking, say, sharing Facebook posts and tweets on Twitter to your rescue work? I mean, do you find that that helps?
Hi, Penelope here.
Penelope.
Facebook is absolutely invaluable. It's the most affordable and the most immediate way that we have of communicating with our friends and followers and contributors. We don't Twitter. I'm not a big proponent of Twitter. I'm sure people are probably saying why not, but so there's no Twitter feed from us. But we're also on Google Plus, which is the Google social network. And as I said, it's the cheapest way that we can get mass marketing messages out. And it's a community that we love being a part of. It's not just a one-way email or a one-way newsletter. It's an actual communication of our people that is really a joy to be a part of.
And I know a lot of people sometimes will, across the board, they're supporters and they are followers, and they always say, oh, I wish I could help, but I can share this. And really, I think it's important to get the message out that sharing really is caring, and it really does help because, you know, it's not, yes, of course, the financial donations and the physical volunteers are important, but sharing the messages and getting them out to other people who may see it or other businesses, I mean, it's just as important, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, and it's definitely the backbone of our messaging.
Yeah, so anyone who's listening, if you always feel like, you know, oh, all I can do is share, please really understand that that is a really great help, you know, sharing it. I mean, you're definitely part of the whole networking system, so it is really important. So never feel that just because you're sharing, it's actually a pretty big thing to do.
It is, and I just wanted to mention that, you know, I do see the sharing of the Siberians. I do try and go on to the feeds at least once a day to see if there are any Siberians that I've missed. And I know that it's heart-wrenching for people to see these Siberians in the shelters. Just know that we are trying to do our part. We are trying to save them. But even the most diligent rescue, it's impossible with the numbers out here right now. And there just are not enough Husky rescues out here for us to get to them all in time because we are in such a crisis in California, especially.
You know, I was actually going to ask you, because it is very sad to see these large number of Huskies in need, and not just in California, but across the world. And so many are turned into shelters or abandoned, and, you know, some of them even have serious health issues. I mean, it's like you said, we see it every day coming across the feeds. And in your opinion, why is there such a high number of Huskies being surrendered, and filling up these shelters? Do you feel folks are just not educated on the breed, or what? From your perspective, what do you see as, you know, behind this?
Well, you know, one of the things I always say is people are buying these Siberian Huskies as puppies. They're cute. Everybody loves a Husky puppy. They look like a baby wolf. And then they hit about 6 or 7 months of age, and they start acting like one. And people are thinking, what is wrong with this dog? And, of course, they have not educated themselves. They haven't read up on the fact that, you know, Siberian Huskies, especially as youngsters, can be very destructive. You know, they are escape artists. They are pack animals. They do tend to suffer from separation anxiety. You know, there are many specialized things that go along with this breed that people are not aware of. And we get many young huskies in rescue, amazingly enough. You know, 7 to 9 months old seems to be the target of when people are dumping them because they can't handle them.
Yeah, I mean, we often say, you know, how, you know, it is, it's actually gotten to be, you know, just a horrible widespread thing, and everyone's like, what can we do to help? And we talk about educating the public, and, I mean, what other types of things you think could help break down these numbers so they're not so high?
Penelope, do you have any ideas on this?
Well, it would be lovely if some of the backyard breeding was policed a little more ferociously.
Absolutely.
There's just so many being bred because it's a quick buck.
Absolutely.
And then the pups that don't get purchased end up being dumped at the shelter, usually by that point unsocialized. And wild and woolly. So
that's
got to be the start of the cure. The backyard breeding needs to just stop.
Yes.
They are instituting in some of the shelters here mandatory spay-neuter if and when the Siberians or any dog is impounded. There are certain shelters that are now requiring before they release these animals that they be fixed, which I think is fabulous, and I wish every shelter in every county and every city would enforce this law. I think it would make a huge difference if people were forced to spay and neuter,
right,
and not allowed to do all of this breeding.
I had read an article that I believe it was Cesar Millan had gone over to Europe, and while he was over there, he said that all the reputable breeders were licensed, and anyone else, they had mandatory spay and neutering, and they did not. This problem did, like, barely existed over there. So I think it's definitely an example that I hope we can start following soon. You know, it's just it's like you said, it's very heartbreaking to see this going on, and you know, and then of course it's across the breeds across the globe. You know, it's just we're looking at just one breed, and it's monumental.
Absolutely. And of course, we all know there are other breeds that are suffering from the same problem that our beloved Siberians are, overbreeding and dying in huge numbers in the shelters.
It's sad. It's become like an epidemic. You know, it's just
it's heartbreaking.
But it's heartbreaking
for us, and I know it's heartbreaking for all of our followers and. You know, we are trying to make a difference. And
you guys definitely are. Now, on your website, which is alliesrescuedangels.org, you have a listing of the huskies that are available for forever homes. Now, can someone outside of the state of California apply to adopt, or do they have to be a resident?
They can, if they will come to California and meet me to adopt. We just maybe 6 months ago had one of our doggies go to Canada, and her family came here, met with me. Her name is Effie now, E-F-F-I-E, and there was a beautiful picture posted of her about a month ago at Niagara Falls. And
great.
So she actually lives out of the country. So as long as they will come here, meet with me, do an interview, and we can get some background, potentially have somebody in the area to do the home check. We absolutely are open to doing those type of adoptions.
Now, for our listeners, in case you're just joining us, on today's The Side Vibe, we're talking with Ali Ramirez and on of Ali's Rescued Angels, and they're based out of California, and joining Ali is Penelope Brown, who's the Communication Director, and they're dedicated to helping huskies in need and giving them a safe haven at their 10-acre husky ranch. You can check out the huskies available for adoption as well as their blog, info on the breed, download an adoption application, and other ways that you can help Ali's Rescued Angels by visiting their website at www.alliesrescuedangels.org and also following them on Facebook at facebook.com/WeRescueHuskies. Now, Ali or Penelope, can you walk us through the adoption process from application to actual placement?
I guess that would be me since I basically handle all the adoptions. First step is normally they'll submit an application via email or fax. If they've previously adopted and they see a dog that they like, they can just call me directly and we'll chit-chat about it. After they've submitted their application, as long as there's no obvious red flags, we'll schedule them to come out, meet with me, meet with Doggy. If they have an existing doggy, they'll bring that dog with them so we can make sure that the two are going to get along and are a good blend. And if all goes well with that, then we usually will start working on doing the adoption, scheduling a home visit, or if they've previously adopted, of course, that's not required. It's actually a pretty easy process, and we have wonderful adopters. Our adopters are top-notch, and we love them. Our process is pretty easy, actually, so I welcome anybody that is looking to adopt another family member. Take a look and let us know if there's anyone you're interested in.
Now, you've had many success stories, or I like to call them husky happy endings or beginnings, and most recently in one so many people have been following is beautiful Flippy, also known as Baby Knees.
Flippy.
Yeah, Flippy was Flippy was originally an owner surrender, right, who had severe medical issues with his knees that made him, it made him impossible to walk normal, even though he tried.
Correct.
Can you tell our listeners about Flippy's story, you know, like the condition he came to in, how you helped raise the money for the surgery itself, and, you know, there was some extensive following rehab work that you did that has now helped him to walk?
Yeah, you know, Flippy was purchased from one of your local backyard breeders by a young couple, you know, wanting a husky puppy, and at about 3 months old, I believe, they started noticing that there were some sort of issues with Flippy's back legs. And they had gone to a vet, and the vet said, no, there's nothing wrong with him. And, you know, as time went on, this problem started getting worse. And they had no idea what was going on. And the vets that they were taking him to could not really give them any answer. At about 5 months of age, it was much worse, and that's when they contacted us. They had taken him to another vet, and the vet recommended euthanasia, and we still didn't know exactly what was wrong with him. They sent us a couple pictures, and we talked a little bit more, and we finally agreed we will bring him into rescue and try and help him. In all honesty, when he arrived here, I didn't think we were going to be able to help him. I had never seen something like this before, and I've seen many injured huskies and, you know, certain types of deformities. I had never seen anything like this. It was heart-wrenching. And we started taking him to our vets and trying to figure out what we needed to do. We found a wonderful surgeon named Dr. Barenfeld, who actually came to our city specifically to evaluate Flippy. He had all types of diagnosis as far as problems going on with his legs, his femur, his knees. And our vet told us that this was definitely genetic. Most likely his father had this same exact problem, and these people were intentionally breeding these genetically deformed Siberians. So after a couple months of deciding what to do, what was the best you know, avenue to take, and what were the chances of the success of the surgery, making sure that we did it at the right time. He was so young that, you know, there was an issue with his growth. Doing it too fast, you know, would it be successful? And the surgeon told us that this was a roll of the dice. Either we did the surgery and it was a success, or that we really needed to consider euthanasia because Flippy would not have a good quality of life, and over time his condition would become worse.
Now, was his, what is his actual diagnosis for what was wrong with his legs?
Penelope, do you, it was such a long diagnosis. Penelope, do you have that information?
You know, I don't. I know, I remember it being such a long diagnosis with every medical term in it.
Was it basically he had, you know, disfigured knees? I mean, just, you know, in layman terms.
In layman terms, initially, he was diagnosed as having no knees. Also, his femur was deformed, and his leg bones were not meeting correctly. Everything was reversed. So when he walked, his back legs were like little flippers. He walked like he had little flippers in the back.
Like a seal would walk. He walked like a seal.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. So there were major deformities going on, and they basically had to rebuild him from his femur all the way down to his toes.
Because of that, his spine was also becoming deformed because the poor guy couldn't stand or stretch properly, so his spine was fusing.
Yes, that was part of the reason that, you know, people had suggested we'll get him a cart, and you know, but it just wasn't going to be okay for Flippy because of his spine issues. The pain would just become overwhelming after, you know, maybe another 6 to 8 months.
Now, he's had his surgery, and it's been successful?
Absolutely. More than anyone ever thought. To see him today is amazing. It's amazing what these surgeons are able to do for these dogs, for the Siberians.
It really is. I mean,
and
we had Our Chloe here last summer, she blew out both of her meniscuses, and they said her CCLs were shredded. And again, they said it was probably something from birth. And Chloe and Gibson, you know, they did come from, we rescued them from backyard breeders. I like to say rescue because when we went in, we wound up leaving with three of them because of the situation there. You know, she blew out both of hers and couldn't walk at all. And, you know, our vet, who we love dearly, I could tell there was worry in his face, and he recommended us to an excellent surgeon, and she's amazing today. I mean, she's running, jumping, playing, and you're right, it's the things they can do today is just absolutely amazing. And I saw the pictures of Flippy, even with the bandages on his legs, and people can go to your Facebook page and even check out the videos from where the dog was to where, you know, he is now. It's really a miracle. It truly is.
It really is. It not only affected him physically, but even his temperament. You know, when we got him, he was timid and afraid and food aggressive and snappy, and you know, he snapped at Penelope the night he arrived in rescue. And to see him now, this standing tall, you know, confident, young, beautiful Siberian is just awesome.
I mean, he's a true, true happy ending and true inspiration. And he was just adopted into his forever family, right?
He was.
Aww, how difficult was it parting with him? I mean, it's wonderful. I mean, I imagine it's wonderful he's got, you know, a loving family. But on the other hand, he just left all you guys. I mean, it couldn't have been easy.
It was not easy. It wasn't. We had several applicants, wonderful people, looking to adopt Flippy. But, you know, Flippy was a very special guy. And he still had... he was a very naughty husky, is what I referred to him as. And he was still very puppy, very mouthy. So, you know, there were certain things that we were looking for in an appropriate family for him. And actually, right before he was scheduled to go to his new family, he had another issue. We had to have another surgery done on him, not related to the legs, but related to his eyes. And the new family is absolutely wonderful. I took Flippy to meet them. They had come out and meet him, and then I took Flippy to go to their home and take him there. And they had a sign hanging on their door that said, "Welcome home, Flippy." And, you know, it was difficult. Flippy's a very sensitive kind of Siberian, so I wanted to make it as easy on him as possible. And right before I left, I had them take him outside so that he would not see me leaving.
Aww.
And after he went outside, of course, I did cry. I'm not gonna lie. I always shed a few tears over this one. And but he's thriving. They absolutely love him. He had his first trip to the beach yesterday, and he's doing fabulous. And they actually created him his own Facebook page.
Oh, Flippy has a Facebook page.
Yeah, and so I believe it's Flippy Flippenstein. So if anybody's looking to follow it, you know, look it up on Facebook. His family absolutely loves him, and he's doing great.
Oh, that's wonderful. We'll be sure to follow. Now, I imagine selecting them as difficult and heart-wrenching must be to separate with them. I can imagine selecting the perfect family to help when it's time for Flippy or your other ones to say goodbye, definitely. I mean, that's your goal, so it must help, you know, to know that you've placed these into these, you've saved, you know, these dogs' lives and placed them into loving families. So that, you know, other than being sad, that has to be a wonderful feeling to know that you've helped.
It is a wonderful feeling. I think everyone involved with ARA Rescue, supporters, followers, friends, I hope they all know that. And I know people were kind of shocked that I adopted him out. But, like, I tried to explain, you know, Flippy did deserve more than just a life at the ranch. You know, he deserved to have family outings, to go to the beach. You know, he deserved to have all of that extra life that's out there for him. And though I loved him, just to live at the ranch 7/24 was not fair. And I wanted him to have more. And like I told everybody, if for any reason, like with all of our Siberians, if for any reason this doesn't work out or Flippy needs to come back, the door is always open to him, as it is to all of our Siberians. It could be 1 month. It could be 7 years. If they cannot keep them for some reason, we always take them back.
That's wonderful. Now, how often do you get to see your Huskies after they're adopted? Do the folks typically stay in touch with you and keep you updated?
Most of them do. And once in a while, I'll be surprised. I'll see Penelope post a picture of one of them, and I won't even know how she got the picture. You know, so
it goes back to that wonderful team.
Yeah, it really does. And I'll see a picture of like Jeremiah, or the little girl Effie that I was talking about, or Chumley, now known as Kano. And I don't even know how Penelope gets these pictures, but I'll see them posted. It makes me very happy. Most of the adopters do stay in touch. They will email us. They will send photos. They'll come visit us at events. It's awesome.
That's really great.
Now, and I had a visit from one of the little puppies that we adopted out last year that had mange, Nemo. He came to visit yesterday. So they become like extended family members, our adopters, and it's so priceless to be a part of the adopted Huskies' journey as they move on with the new families.
So we
do love it.
That's great. So then, you know, all your work doesn't just stop there. You get to see
right.
them as they grow up and enjoy these lives that you want for them. So I think that's wonderful. Let's talk a little about the Siberian Husky itself. Allie, you said your first dog was a Husky. And I know that, you know, you were shocked to find out when you worked at the Akita Rescue that so many were being turned into shelters and not being saved and being euthanized. What is it about the breed that you love so much that, you know, you decided that you wanted to start all this?
Well, aren't Siberians interesting, first of all? There's never a dull day with a Siberian in the house.
No, there's not.
you know, and actually, you know, one of the first dogs that I owned, you know, as a child was a Siberian. And, you know, it's funny, I remember we lived in a very rural area, and it was before, you know, there was so much going on with the shelters and, you know, overbreeding and overpopulation. And, you know, it was a simpler time, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember our husky getting out all the time, running around. We'd have to go look for him, jumping, digging, flipping the gate latch. And I was young. I was probably about 6 years old. And I remember one day finding him around the corner in the neighbor's yard with, oh, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 chickens murdered in their front yard. And we're like, oh, my gosh, you know, get him, you know. And he was all proud of himself. And, you know, because that's, you know, of course we all know huskies are very prey-driven for little animals, you know, birds and things like that.
Squirrels, possums.
Right. And if not socialized, you know, sometimes small dogs and cats and rabbits, you know, so, but if you do the job young, generally, you know, you can control some of that, but you can never get rid of it. I always tell adopters it's always there. That prey drive is always there, but, you know, there are some exceptions to the rule. The Siberian Huskies, you know, I just, I mean, I love them. I just think they're awesome. And, to me, they're very similar to the Akita breed, which I did work with the Akita Rescue, and I own an Akita, you know, being non-barkers, being prey-driven, you know, the double coat.
Yeah, I definitely agree. My late dog, my fur angel, she was part Akita and part German Shepherd, she actually had, like, a curly tail, like our one Harley, so I don't know what else was in there because she was a rescue dog, but she was wonderful. But you're right, there are some very similar qualities.
There are, and, you know, obviously I didn't want to rescue a breed that I'm not familiar with, that I can't work with, that I can't help, that I can't rehabilitate because I don't understand their traits. And the Siberian Huskies, we click. They're my Huskaroos. You know, we rescue, we rehabilitate, and we rehome, and I feel like we're very successful at it.
Yes. Now, again, for those of you who are just tuning in to this episode of the Side Vibe, today we are talking with Allie Ramirez and Penelope Brown of the Allie's Rescued Angels, a Siberian Husky ranch located in California, dedicated to helping huskies in need. You can check out the huskies available for adoption, as well as a lot more information on the breed and adoption applications, and you can by visiting their website at www.alliesrescuedangels.org. And also by following them on Facebook. And that would be at facebook.com/WeRescueHuskies. Now, I know as many of, you know, our listeners and followers know, and I'm sure, you know, as you do too, I'm very active in the canine epilepsy awareness. And with one of my own huskies, Gibson, being an epi dog, and he's the inspiration behind my Live Gibstrong canine epilepsy awareness campaign, where I go out and I try to bring awareness to this, you know, the disorder through my writing in the blog, books, and articles, this show, and fundraising events that I like to do for canine epilepsy nonprofits, such as Canine Epilepsy Resources and the Wally Foundation. You know, and my goal is so people have a better understanding of it and hopefully know there are resources and people out there to help educate and support them should their dog have a seizure. I know that you had a little pup who came into your rescue who was suffering from seizures, and the pup seemed to have a world of supporters and folks who loved him from afar and supported you in helping him through a very tough time, including a very delicate brain surgery. And I can remember that time because the community was so part of that. You kept coming out and talking and getting people's thoughts on what was going on. And I'm talking about Little Hero. It was so amazing to watch the pet community join together across the globe to support this little pup. And I know everyone wanted to see this baby make it. And can you tell us about Hero's story, how he was able to get the surgery, you know, how he came to you? And although his story is bittersweet because, you know, Hero is now a fur angel, but this little pup touched a nation and really inspired an entire pet community. And I just thought maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Sure. He came to us, I believe it was a couple days after Christmas. He had been surrendered to L.A. County shelter system for seizures. He was about 8 weeks old. It appeared he had been a Christmas present, and he started having seizures, so the people took him to the shelter. The shelter contacted us because that is not something they can handle, and we appreciate the fact that they called us because they could have easily, you know, had him put down because he was having such severe seizures, but they gave him a chance. They did call us. They actually brought him to our veterinarian for us. And initially, you know, the treatment started, we thought he was epileptic. And our veterinarian, Dr. Hogan, at that time, began a regimen of treatment to try and get these seizures under control. And Brian and Arlene Kirby, our good friends, actually fostered him. And, you know, it was, we could not get the seizures under control. It went on for weeks, and they increased the medications and, you know, did the workup. And there were, it just, the seizures were not being controlled. So we ended up taking him to a specialty hospital and VCA out in Fountain Valley, and they did an MRI and things on him, and they found he actually had a pocket of fluid on the brain that was causing these seizures. And they recommended a surgery, and for many people that remember, it was quite a bit of money. I don't know if Penelope remembers the exact amount.
It was over $10,000, I think, by the time the examinations and the surgeries and the specialists, it was around $10,000.
Yeah, it was way up there, and that was with them giving us a rescue discount.
A huge discount, yes.
Yeah, it was. And you know, as time was progressing and this fluid pocket was getting worse, little Hero was really, it was very sad to see what was going on. He actually was suffering. You could tell that his actions were not normal. He was, it was almost like he was, you know, losing his mind. It was, so we had no choice. We were like, we have to get this surgery done. We went to our supporters and our donors, and we said, please help us. And I think it was in a matter of maybe 2 days, Penelope, that
within 24 hours, the amount of support from our community and extended Facebook community was just so heartwarming. It was amazing, absolutely amazing. And within
it really
two
was.
Days, we'd raised enough to commit to the surgery. People knew it was urgent.
Yeah, and we did do the surgery, and we knew it was a risky surgery, and of course, though we had board-certified experts in there doing this surgery, they told us he was young. They weren't sure what the outcome would be. It was going to be a long surgery. Unfortunately, even though the initial repair of putting a drain in for the pocket of fluid, his little body just couldn't handle all the strain and stress of the surgery, and we ended up losing him that night.
And now, and I know everybody was so so greatly said, because everybody, we were all with you, I mean, via Facebook updates and waiting, you know, as the surgery went on. I know so many, myself included, were right there in spirit with you. And while Hero's story had a sad ending, his story does live on in the community and who came together to support him. And I think that's what everybody walked away from this with, was how amazing the community was, joining together to support him. And he's being remembered every year, and the lessons learned so that his life was not in vain. And I think there's two really important messages from Hero's story. One, just because a puppy or a dog has seizures is no reason, you know, for people out there to abandon him, or, you know, that there is help, there's support. While we never do know an outcome of a dog with seizures, you know, they do deserve that chance. And I think the second message, too, and I know you carry this on as well, because he was suspected of being someone's Christmas present and then, you know, dumped when the seizures appeared, you know, he also serves as a reminder, I think, not to give puppies as Christmas presents. And I was wondering if maybe, like, we can get your thoughts on that, because, you know, the holiday season's really not all that far away. And just in case people out there are thinking, hey, you know, I'm going to get a husky pup for so-and-so, maybe we could just talk briefly about, you know, something that maybe will help them understand why it's not a good idea.
Oh, my gosh. Please don't do that. Please don't do it. We anticipate a certain months being months that we're going to start seeing many youngsters in the shelters. You know, January, February are big months for these huskies, and we're ready. We know that they're going to start arriving. Actually, it's January, February, March, April, from the first point of buying them to about 4 months when they start acting like little Siberian huskies. You know, I would just suggest people, please do your research on the breed. You know, please understand that, you know, these are little beings. I mean, they have feelings, and they're not some inanimate object that you can just throw away because they're not convenient or they're not healthy or, you know, they deserve more than that. All of the animals that are being bred and sold and traded and dumped, they deserve more than that. And as a community, you know, we all need to get more involved. And I know that everyone generally looks at rescues to help, to save the dog, to board the dog. But, you know, we cannot do it alone, any of us rescuers. We need help. And the Siberians need your help, and the other breeds need your help.
Now, Flippy and Hero are just two of the stories of how it really does take a village to help a husky, and fundraising is a huge part of helping your huskies that you have there, and so many others that, you know, you've helped other than Flippy and Hero. And what type of fundraising do you do, and how can others help?
Penelope.
There's a few really easy ways that people can help us that are very, very cheap, if not free, to the person. And our website does detail a few ways that people can contribute. And some key ways, of course, are going to our PayPal and becoming a monthly angel and just donating a flat fee every month for our general rescue efforts. But we also have affiliations with Ralph's supermarkets, where if you shop at Ralph's and you register your rewards card, Ralph's will actually give us a percentage of every penny that you spend on groceries, and that costs you absolutely nothing.
And this is Ralph's, R-A-L-P-H, flea market?
Yes. Yeah, it's actually it's a grocery store.
Okay.
And the chains are throughout California, I believe also in Nevada, and maybe even Arizona. But that's definitely an easy thing for people to do to help us. We also have a network set up within eBay. We're one of their charity sellers. So if somebody isn't able to donate money but has an item they wish to sell, then they can designate our charity as the beneficiary of the item for sale, and eBay charges no fees.
Oh, that's a great way to do it.
Yep, they run the auction, they register as an ARA charitable donation, and then we will get the money from that. There's also a search engine called GoodSearch.com, and it's just like Google, but if you search via their engine, we get a penny for every search that you do on that search engine. So those are three ways that don't cost anybody anything to participate in our fundraising efforts.
Oh, that's great.
But obviously, monthly donations are the backbone of helping us with our operating costs.
Wonderful. And then if anyone has any questions, they can always email you. I know we only have about a minute left. And, Robert, I don't know if you want to add anything. I just had, like, one or two wrap-up things I wanted to ask them. But I thought we got so involved, I thought I should probably see if there's anything that you wanted to add before the end of the show.
No, I just really appreciated the story of Philippian Hero. That's what this show is all about, to be able to tell the stories.
Right, exactly. Now, Allie, what are some of your hopes and dreams for Husky Ranch this upcoming year?
Well, of course, we'd like to finish the construction of the kennel area. We are going to add more kennels. I had been a little hesitant because it's so much work already, and I'm basically a one-man show at the ranch. But I think that I've decided we will add a few more kennels. So the construction phase of the kennel area, also we would like to do kind of a round pen on the front part of the property so that I have another area for the Huskies to run around and play in. And, of course, with the Siberian Huskies, the fencing is the key. You know, we can't just do chain link. You know, we have to do something very secure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are different things that I'd like to do for the Huskies this year that are in rescue. We would like to apply for some grants this year.
Great.
Which will be Penelope's job. And
well, if there's anything we can do to help get the word out, please don't hesitate to let me know, and you know, I'll share with our listeners and our readers as well. And just one final thought, if someone is thinking about bringing a Siberia Husky into their home, what sage piece of advice would you give them?
Do your research. Please make sure you're ready for this breed. Please make sure you have the time and the patience. Especially if you're bringing a puppy in, for raising and training, and be committed. You know that this is going to be a hopefully 15 to 17 year commitment. So please make sure that your house is in order before you bring in a Siberian that you need to commit to for 15 to 17 years, and hopefully longer.
Right. Exactly.
And consider it. Consider getting the Husky from a rescue, not a breeder.
Think of the rescue solution. ARA. Think of any of the Siberian Husky rescues or any of the hardworking rescues out there that need supporters, and adoptions. Adoptions are the key. Adoptions create more space for more doggies to come into rescue.
And they are such a wonderful breed. I have five of my own, and they're just, they bring so much happiness and love. It's the investment and time into a Husky is so worth it. I mean, they're family members, they're wonderful dogs, and, you know, I hope people do, you know, consider the rescue and listen to, you know, your great advice. Thank you, Allie. Thank you, Penelope, for all the wonderful and loving work you guys do at rescuing Huskies, and thanks for joining Robert and I on the Side Vibe. And to learn more about Allie's Rescued Angels and her Husky Ranch, visit her website, www.alliesrescuedangels.org, and also be sure to check out our future future blog post at the 55.blogspot.com, where I'll be posting information and links about today's show and Allie's website and Facebook page. You can also visit dogworksradio.com and click on the shows and over on the link to the Sci-Vibe, and you'll be able to visit today's show at any time, as well as previous episodes of the Sci-Vibe. So until next time, thank you, everybody. Have a good day. And
thank you, Dorothy. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody out there that supports ARA. Please keep an eye on us, because we hope to have big things happening this year.
Sounds great. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
On behalf of our guests, we'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.